You know, I can't help but not, when I hear this song, I can't help but, not, I'll age myself here, of college. And we used to do something in college, which I don't know if people do this anymore, and they called it slapping the bag. So somebody, it's college, you got no money. So we'd go out, we'd buy a boxed wine, okay? And we would take, which is, wine in a box, in a bag. I'm pretty sure it was like, I forgot the company name, but I don't know if it's still around anymore. But it was boxed wine with the bag in it. Somebody would then take the bag out of the box. And you'd go to like a frat party or whatever, and you'd walk around the... Another country heard from here. What? Yes, Rosie. You have the name.
Franzia.
You're right. Yes, Franzia.
I didn't even look it up. I had to remember.
That's right. Franzia. Yep. And you would take the bag out of the box. You'd go to the party and you would walk around with it or, you know, like a sorority girls would walk around with it and you would slap the bag, literally, and then you would take a shot of it. And I'm sure everybody's lips touched it that was at the party. So I say this all the time and I'm joking so nobody get nuts. Well, they're like, Luke, you get vaccinated for something? Why would I get vaccinated? I went to college. If you've played beer pong on a frat basement floor and the ball has hit the floor and then somebody puts that in water and then that goes into a cup with beer in it, you don't need to get vaccinated because you are immune from everything ever. I mean, how I didn't get hand, foot, and mouth disease 16 times over slapping the bag in a basement all these years with boxed wine, I have no idea. But you're right. Franzia was the wine. Somebody would buy it. And really, whoever came up with slapping the bag should work for NASA. I mean, you talk about being innovative. I mean, really. I mean, you could solve all the world's problems because somebody had to sit there and say, you know what would be fun? Because everybody did the, what do they call it? Keg stand, which is, I mean, you could get lightheaded with that. Or you would do the Edward 40 hands where you would, that was probably more in the, I think that was more to have a good time. You would tie the 40s to everybody's hand and you would drink it. And then when they're done, you were, you know, whatever. Drunk, to be honest. So those were things you would do, or what am I called? Shotgunning a beer, and then the other one was a beer funnel. So those are more of your traditional ones, but the slapping the bag, I wonder if I'm alone here, but I know when I was back in the day in college, we would do that. But whoever came up with it is quite innovative because, again, it builds up the immune system. It's because, you know, you're not the first lips to be touching that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to, well, a lot going on here tonight, but it all centers around John Harbaugh being fired by the Ravens or mutually parting ways, however they want to phrase it. And there was a immediate report from Adam Schefter that the Giants, he is the top name on their list. He's emerged as the leading candidate. And there were other things out there floating out there, other reports that the Giants had already done their due diligence, anticipating, which good job by them, anticipating the fact that Harbaugh could be let go. So that's one of the reasons why he's at the, I mean, I don't know how much due diligence you have to do. I mean, you just look at his resume. It's not like, do you even have to interview the guy? You know what he stands for. Same thing with Mike McCarthy. Like, to me, those guys, their resumes alone should stand on... You know, they stand on business there. You don't really need to get to know them per se. You know what they bring to the table. Then came another report from Adam Schefter that 7 teams have reached out to John Harbaugh's agent. Okay, so follow the bouncing ball here. There are 7 openings right now, but the 7th is the Ravens. So obviously the Ravens, that would be an interesting twist. I don't think they fired him to hire him. So there's the 6 teams that had the job, and then a 7th, that has a head coach currently that has reached out. And we've all tried to speculate who it might be. Is it the Jets? Doubt it. It should be the Jets. I mean, the Jets should be interested. You should 1,000% be reaching out and considering firing Aaron Glenn to bring in John Harbaugh. They won't. I would be stunned if it was them. They, I think, are steadfast. I think Woody Johnson is committed to his vision here of firing Aaron Rodgers and making Aaron Glenn the former player, the guy that's going to come in, build the culture, and build this program up, and he's not going to move off that. That they are committed, stubborn, whatever you want to say, despite the fans or the majority of the fans wanting to get rid of Aaron Glenn, they are committed to Aaron Glenn, in my opinion. They've already made that pretty clear. I don't expect them or don't suspect them to be the mystery team. I thought it might be Dallas, because you never know with Dallas. The Bills, Sean McDermott, you know, he, in my opinion, is not a good head coach. They have overachieved there in the sense that Josh Allen does everything in his power to pull that team to where they need to get to, and that's the playoffs and some playoff wins. They can't get over the hump with the Chiefs. They don't have to worry about the Chiefs this year. They're not in the playoffs. If Buffalo fell short, would they fire McDermott and bring in Harbaugh? Certainly makes sense. But we had a caller about 15 minutes ago that brought up the team, and I think he has landed on it. Now, we could still speculate who the mystery team could be, but I think it's the Packers. After thinking about it, the caller brought him up. There have been reports that Matt LaFleur could be on his way out. If Green Bay loses to Chicago on Saturday, LaFleur, to me, sounds like a guy that would be out, and the Packers, like John Harbaugh, Green Bay, that makes sense. That feels like a match made in heaven. And if you're Harbaugh, that's a beyond attractive job. You're talking about one of the all-time franchises in the history of the NFL. You have a young quarterback there. You have a great defense. You have a great running back. You have a smash-mouth type of team. That would make sense. So I am going with my prediction now, based on the help from the caller, that the Packers are the mystery team that have reached out to John Harbaugh. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Nick in Queens. What's up, Nick?
Luby!
What's happening? Good. What's going on?
Prime time, positive. I think the other sleeper team could be Tampa Bay. And I really feel like Harbaugh is going to give a real good, hard look at, like, doing the Raiders job because, you know, they got big money coming in Vegas.
Good one.
Brady.
Good one.
You got the number one pick.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I mean, yep. Raiders are, and not only that, here's the kicker. He plays his brother twice a year. He gets to see his whole family twice a year on the field and have fun playing his brother.
Yeah, like a friendly. Yeah, right. I like it. Yeah, no, Nick, that you brought up some good ones there. So let's dissect them. Because I understand it, and we're in New York, and we're going to, you know, look at it through the scope of the big blue glasses and the gangrene glasses. But sometimes you have to take a step back and say, all right, if you're John Harbaugh, we obviously love our team, you know, and as a Giant fan, and I get it, and I would make that argument, we have the most attractive job. We have Jackson Dart. We have this young nucleus. We are New York. This is the spot. Turn the Giants around. We are the number one vacancy out there. I mean, John Harbaugh may not feel that way. And then if you're the Jets, I understand it because you want to get out of what you're in right now, which is Aaron Glenn, and you just want to part ways with him, and you're salivating for somebody like John Harbaugh to coach your team. The Bucs, Todd Bowles has done a nice job there. They obviously had a disappointing year, but they've had a good amount of success recently where I don't think they would move off of Bowles. But, I mean, John Harbaugh would be obviously an upgrade over Todd Bowles, so they make sense. The Raiders 100% makes sense because you have the young quarterback. You can work with Tom Brady. All the things you laid out, no doubt. You're in the division with your brother. That's an interesting, fun, like friendly, but also competitive rivalry you can have. The NFL would love that because you get the Harbaugh, you know, twice a year, maybe even a third time if they both make the playoffs. So those make sense as well. Now, as far as the other areas and landing spots, let's break them down quickly here and then we'll get back to your calls. Number one, or first of all, we Giants, which we've laid out and we've gone through in exhaustion, so that we know. How about the Titans? Their roster, hideous, except for their quarterback. Cam Ward looks like the real deal, played a lot better down the stretch. The Titans' offense looked way better, and Callahan, we know, didn't even know the rules of the NFL, and he was just arguably the worst coach in the history of the league and will never get another job. So once he was fired, the Titans kind of took off for their standards and played a lot better offensively down the stretch. And you have a young quarterback there, so they make sense. The Falcons, great roster. Don't have the quarterback unless you are a believer in Michael Penix Jr., but weak division and a ton of talent on that team. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, a good defense. They make sense from that perspective. Then you have the Browns. I mean... Unless you are somehow, because you know ownership wants Shador to be the quarterback, if you think Shador Sanders is the guy, like if John Harbaugh, and he's gotten a look at him, you know, that's in division, and he's gotten a good look at the Browns, he may say, you know what? Shador could be that next great quarterback. I would want to go there. But I would say the Cleveland Browns would be a massive, massive underdog at this point. Now, have I gone through everybody, Rosenberg? I think I've.
Can I give you one more?
Yes, but did I name all the teams? I did Giants, I did Falcons, I did Titans, I did Browns, we did Raiders just there. I might be missing one, but I got through the majority of them. Yeah, go ahead.
How about the Commanders? Stays in the D.C. area,
has a good young quarterback.
So you're
there.
Firing Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
You're firing Uncle
As
Dan.
The mystery team. How about the Commanders?
So you're thinking...
Stays in the area. He likes the area. Been there for 20 years. Doesn't have to move his family.
The reason... yes, but the reason why I'm not giving Washington a lot of credence here and why I do think the Packers was a good one, because there are rumblings about LaFleur being on the hot seat. The Bills, there aren't rumblings about McDermott, but it feels like, dude, how many times can you get to the playoffs? And how do you justify to the Buffalo fans, who I know are extremely loyal, how do you justify bringing Sean McDermott back if they can't get to the Super Bowl when the Chiefs are not standing in your way? I mean, honestly, like at some point you have to say enough is enough. And when you have a guy like Harbaugh sitting out there, how do you run it back with McDermott? Whereas with Washington, there hasn't really been a lot of talk that Dan, at least not I'm aware of Dan Quinn leaving. How about this one? Nah. Would the Eagles move off of Sirianni?
I was just gonna say that. Stay in the division. I was looking at the standings.
I just gave our old boss 40 minutes tomorrow if he's listening to my show right now, because that's right up his alley. But I'm not sure. I got to be honest with you. I don't know how to evaluate Nick Sirianni as a head coach. I don't. I really don't. Like, they have the greatest GM in the history of GMs. I mean, Howie Roseman is everything in Philadelphia. And they have such a great foundation and organization. But, you know, Nick Sirianni still deserves credit. They were ready to run him out of there a couple years ago. We don't know what's going to happen this year with Philly. I mean, they may go on and they could repeat. Obviously, in that case, no. If they lose to San Francisco in the first round, but you're just a year removed from the Super Bowl, I don't see it. I think it's an interesting name. I think it's a sexy, like, clickbait type of one to throw out there with the Eagles. I keep going back to Packers, 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 Packers. Because LaFleur, there has been talk for weeks that he's been on the hot seat, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me, although I'm not a Packer fan. I don't live in Green Bay. Perhaps there's, you know, more reasoning than we believe because we're not, you know, in it. We're a little far removed from it. But Unless we'll take your calls on it. You know, you might have a different answer, but I think it's Packers as far as the mystery team. Let's go to Chris in Greenwich, Connecticut. What's up, Chris?
Loogie, my man.
Yeah.
Congrats on the new on the show. You deserve everything.
Thank you.
Just like Jackson Dart, you're the next big thing in New York.
I appreciate that. Well, I mean, listen, like I said, if you put me in the same conversation as Jackson Dart, that's a conversation I love to be in, no doubt.
Good. We'll talk quick about the mystery team. Listen, if the Jets called, if it is them, they're definitely hanging up on that call. No, that's a dumpster fire. No one's going to be coaching them. I mean, their leading receiver didn't play for the last 12 weeks, so it's like, you know, that team's out. I would think the Packers too. And the earlier caller said the Chiefs, and that was interesting. I thought.
So I think like a team like the Chiefs. That's like reckless speculation that Reed maybe wants to leave, or myself saying, yeah, the dynasty's over. The reason why now I'm like really like keyed in on it being the Packers is because of the reports and the rumors. And Charlie Sheen had a great line one day. He said, I would deny rumors, but they're all true. So whenever you hear a rumor, you start, you know, it didn't come from thin air. So they make a lot of sense just based on the fact that there has been a lot of talk and a lot of tea being spilled that LaFleur could be out of there. And obviously, if they lose, especially in the first round, after a lot of people thought they were going to the Super Bowl when they got Parsons, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Real quick, I agree everything you said about Harbaugh and McCarthy, because you did the stats. They're extremely similar, like very eerily similar. If one of them coach next year, true or false, are they a top 10 coach going into next season? Think about it real quick.
Yes. 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 I think both are. I do. Real quick, boom, right out of the tip of, you know, boom. Yes, I would say top 10. Now, I know what you're saying there. When you pose that question, because now I could kind of dissect it or sort of peel back the onions. I'm like, you know, like an ogre, they have layers. I'm taking a team out of the play. You know, I'm taking a playoff team and saying, they're not a top 10 coach. Well, I already told you McDermott, I think, is terrible with the Bills. I think he is not a good head coach. I can't understand for the life of me how Buffalo continues to employ him. I just don't understand that. And then I'd have to show him right out of the gate. And then I'd have to think about it a little bit more. I don't think Sean McVay is leaving yet. But I do think ultimately Sean McVay goes to television. I don't think he gets, I think he takes a break and he goes, like, kind of like, you know, like, all right, I'll say this. If the Rams win the Super Bowl this year, could McVay and Stafford both leave? Yes. McVay for TV, Stafford for retirement? Yeah, I could see that. And then McVay does TV for a bunch of years and the announcing, because let's be real. If you can get that kind of gig, it's a great gig. On the set or in the booth, like, you get paid a ton of money. You don't deal with, especially if you don't have Twitter, so you're not like reading the haters. It's a less stressful job. Why wouldn't you want that? And Sean McVay has everything you can want in life on every single level. So he could be a guy that's like, you know what? I'm going to step away. I've done everything I could do. I've won 2 Super Bowls. I have this great coaching tree. I'm going to go do TV for a while. So then that would open up a slot in the top 10 as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tony is in Flemington. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller. If I were the Giants, I would send a jet for Harbaugh tonight and sign him. And my other questions are, do you think another coach can rectify the careers of Evan Neal and Jalin Hyatt? Because I remember what happened with Mekhi Becton and the Jets last year. He went to the Eagles.
Yep.
And he did really good.
Yep.
Or do you think those guys are just finished?
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call and I appreciate the question, because the Giants have had a bunch of, Eric Flowers comes to mind, guys that failed with the Giants on the line and then went somewhere else and were good. Jalin Hyatt, no. Jalin Hyatt, I don't think would have six. I mean, he's a one-trick pony, and he can't even pull that trick off, and that's with the speed, the vertical threat. He just is useless. And I liked him. I thought he was good at Tennessee, but it just, I don't see that happening. Evan Neal, you're talking about a first-round pick, top 10. He went to Alabama. Would I be stunned if he went somewhere else and had a nice career? No, I would not. Do I think it's going to happen here? Of course not. Obviously, he's gone. But if you ask me between the two, I think based on the pedigree, I think based on seeing some other offensive linemen, you just mentioned, you know, Becton with the Jets and then Flowers with the Giants. You know, they stunk around here, but then they went to other teams and they performed, you know, and had, you know, nice little careers. Becton still going here. Yeah, I could see Evan Neal in another spot having a nice career. It's just not going to work here. And I don't know the inner workings of it, of why he stinks. You know, I don't cover the team. I don't know what his work ethic is. I don't know. I know he said that dumb thing, and maybe he got, you know, tricked into saying it about a year or so ago, and that was a bad move. But I'm not going to hold him, you know, totally on that for one dumb comment when you're a young player. I don't understand why Evan Neal is not great. Like I said, maybe he's just a bust. Maybe it's work ethic. No clue. But if I'm a team, would I take a chance on him based on the fact that he was a top 10 pick, went to Alabama, the pedigree? Absolutely. Would I be surprised if Evan Neal ends up being a good offensive lineman in the league? I would not. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Brian on the fan. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's happening?
I think I can satisfy your bewilderment around the Mike McCarthy component. I think a few things. He's kind of like the backup singer in a great band, and he likes playing that second fiddle. He's kind of a puppeteer between Jerry Jones and Thompson and Gutekunst in Green Bay. So I think there's some of that. But honestly, I think when you hear him, he's just kind of vanilla. He kind of reminds me of Dan Reeves when he came on board for, you know, a handful of years.
So you don't think he's an alpha male? You don't get the alpha male vibes from Mike McCarthy.
I don't think so at all. He's never screamed that. He clearly in Dallas kind of just did, and I get it. Dallas is tricky, but he almost reminds me of like Jason Garrett, you know. Whereas I think you look at like John Harbaugh,
I just see
a guy that.
Yeah, I'll let you finish.
See a guy that like.
But I don't. You know, hold on, yeah. Brian. It's. I just have a hard time. Like, you know, if you want to tell me that Mike McCarthy is not Mike Tomlin and he is not John Harbaugh, and he is, you know, guys that have similar resumes, but people, and the reason why I brought, I compare in the three is because I think you have three guys that have similar resumes as far as, you know, winning a Super Bowl, regular season winning percentage, playoff record, stuff like that. That's why I'm not saying Andy Reid or anything like that. Yet Harbaugh and Tomlin are revered, and McCarthy isn't. Okay, maybe you could sway me. I can't put Mike McCarthy in the same conversation as Jason Garrett. Come on. Like, that's incredibly unfair. And believe it or not, Jason Garrett, Brian, is getting an interview with the Titans. What? What am I missing? Jason Garrett, the guy who basically single-handedly ruined Daniel Jones' career with the Giants, a guy who, not that this matters, but he's awful on TV. Why would anybody want to hire Jason Garrett? How's he even get an interview with Tennessee? You have a young quarterback at Cam Ward. That's a hot job, an attractive job. You could live in Nashville, which, I mean, that's a great thing. But we cannot compare Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy to Jason Garrett. Come on. Jason Garrett is not even in the same ballpark as far as a head coach. Let's go to Joe in Long Beach. What's up, Joe?
John Harbaugh is the coach that the Giants need, and I just want to outline why.
Mm-hmm.
The state of the Giants right now, Tommy, is John Mara's not doing so well. Mm-hmm. And if something happens to that man, probably most of the knowledge in the building, tradition, so on and so forth, goes out the window. And then the next person whose imprint has been there the most is Joe Shane. And that's scary. So we need to bring in someone like John who has 18 years of experience of doing this in the NFL.
Yeah, as our coach. Record, yeah.
Right? Like, we're talking 18 years. Yeah. That's half of Joe Shane's life right there.
Right.
And we're talking about a person that could come in and bring in that historian, bring in that knowledge, bring in everything that he knows so that we can use that as a foundation. Similar to Thibodeau and the Knicks, we need to reset this, but we also need intel on all the other organizations, what they do, how they do, how they develop their players, and we just can't take a flyer on anybody else. He's the number one option right now.
Yeah, and Joe, he's the number one option for the Giants. He, based on what I've, you know, talking to my buddies, what I've seen on social media, what I've heard on this radio station from hosts, John Harbaugh is at the top of the list. And by the way, he's at the top of my list too. It's just Mike McCarthy is as well. I have him neck and neck. That's really my entire argument and my entire take on this is that I have them both there, you know, one and one, like they're neck and neck. I think they both bring similar things to the table and it's stuff I'm looking for. Winners, program builders, success, sustained winning, you know, building or developing a young quarterback, I should say, whether it was Lamar Jackson, whether it was Dak Prescott, whether it was Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think Mike McCarthy doesn't get enough credit. Aaron Rodgers slipped in the draft. I mean, he did. So there were plenty of teams that didn't think he had the goods. Comes to Green Bay, obviously, a learning with Brett Favre as well, but, you know, it didn't sound like Brett Favre really wanted to teach Aaron Rodgers anything, and Aaron Rodgers needs to learn it himself. And I think Mike McCarthy deserves a lot of credit there, or credit for sure. And then Dak Prescott has come out on multiple occasions and has credited Mike McCarthy for making him the quarterback that he is. And Dak Prescott, say what you want about him in January, which, you know, remains to be seen if he can win the big games. But as far as regular season winning and stats, Dak Prescott's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll do a fun phone call here. We'll get back to the sports stuff in just 1 second here. Jim is in Madison. What's up, Jim?
Oh, late night loogie. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
All right. So, real quick in terms of the Giants, yeah, it's got to be Harbaugh, mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy, or maybe Stefanski. Anybody else, and I'll start paying for the planes flying over the stadium, okay? but the thing I wanted to ask you is this. So, you were talking about slapping the bag before.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about a little Edward 40 hands.
Yeah, and when we say slap in the bag, I don't want anybody to think it's a drinking game. You slap in the bag, it's a box wine, and you take the wine out of the bag, and then you slap it. And I used to do that at a, you know, fraternity sorority parties back in the day.
Of course. And when you said Franzia, I could picture the box, you know, it brought me back. But,
yeah.
Okay. So I want to give you three drinking games.
Okay.
And just have you rank them
sure.
for me, all right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to go root, AKA beer pong, which people incorrectly call it, but that's fine.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I played beer pong more times than I'd like to, say. I've never heard it called root in my entire life. I've never heard it. Beirut, you said, or root?
Beirut, but root for short.
Got it. Okay. Right? I've always known it as beer pong, okay. But okay, that's one. What are the others?
All right. We'll go beer pong, flip cup, and then we'll throw in kings in there.
Great.
All right?
Great list. You know, this is a tremendous list, and I'm equipped for this answer. Because really, I've always wanted to be on this radio station as a host. It's been a lifelong dream. So it's been my career. But truly, my life's work is partying, which I did a lot of. So this, I already have the answer for you, because this is something that I've not only given a take for before in my life, and also I think even on this radio station, but it's something that I've spent a lot of time on. Like I said, it's my life's work. Okay. Kings to me is number three. And the reason why I rank it third is because I view it as more of a pregame game. Yes, you can play it, but it's hard to play at a party. So it's more for pre-gaming before you go out. The problem with Kings is you might not make it out. It's one of those drinking games where you can get totally bombed to the point where you can't leave. And if you know anything about Lou Gower, me, as I talk myself in the third person, I love the partying, but the alcohol was, part of it. It was more other things that I was chasing around. So really, I wanted to make sure that I made it out. So Kings to me would be third. Beer pong would be second. And the reason why I put beer pong second is because I feel like people take it way too seriously. Like they're way too competitive. And it becomes one of those situations where if you go to the party, it's nothing but dudes playing it. That's it. Because it's this rah-rah alpha male, like, I'm great at beer pong. It's like, who cares? It's really a vehicle to get drunk. That's it. And it's a vehicle to have a little fun at the party. And it's a game that you could play at a party, unlike Kings. Flip cup is number one, and it's number one, and it's not even close. And here's why. It's very simple. Number one, the games go by quick. So you could, beer pong, some of those games last for an hour and a half, especially if you have bad shooters. It's quick game, and most importantly, interactive. It's interactive. It's 6-on-6, so you get more interaction. You get girls playing. You're across from a girl. You start up a conversation. You have a quick game. You're playing flip cup. The table is basically 15 feet apart. Like I said, mostly dudes are playing, and it's not a sexist thing. It's just that guys, I think, just like to play beer pong, and then you have these idiots that run the table, and they're there for 4 hours, so you can barely get on the damn thing, where flip cup, it's like the scene in the Chappelle Show. You know what I mean? Where it's like, assemble your crew, I'll be outside. You know, the Prince thing, you know what I mean? Man, I'm not on your team. You know, Computer Blue, Darling Picky. So it's like one of those things where it's like, all right, I'll take 5 of my guys here in the fraternity. That is against 5 girls in the sorority. You start up a conversation. It's very interactive. It's quick. It's fun. You go to the next game. Flip Cup, to me, is the best. It is the number one drinking game because you can socialize during it. And you don't get, like, too drunk because you only fill the cup up, like, a little bit. Unless you're a maniac. I mean, like, so it's, you're not getting too wasted. It's good conversation starter. More people get involved. It's an easier game to play than beer pong, so you're not frustrated. And quite frankly, it's less gross. Like, beer pong, when you think about it, is disgusting. If you put the beer in the cup and the ball hits the floor on where everybody's stepping on it, and then you drink it, that's gross. And then people are like, well, I play a water cup. And it's like, but then you're just sitting there with the beer, and it's like, what's the point of it? So there you go. Those are my top three. Or based on the top three you gave me, I would go flip cup number one. Okay. Back to sports, I promise. We'll get
he likes to hang and bang.
That's right. You know, 80s for the ladies. Let them watch. We'll get back to sports here in just 1 second. Shout out. What a great movie. I mean, The Wolf of Wall Street. I just pulled the Costos. I gave you a reference, and then I told you what the reference was. All right. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. Giants, Jets. We're going to open it up to baseball. I would say the next hour. Coming up in the next hour, something that came out yesterday about the Yankees and Cody Bellinger, and it made me think about the Mets angle. So I want to give you my thoughts on that. There is a report out there about Kyle Tucker and some of the teams that are interested in him. We'll dissect that as well. So baseball, but still with the football, John Harbaugh being the big story. Again, the number's 888-808-1019. It's After Hours, Positive Tommy in Primetime. 9:40 here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer.
You and I need to have a three-way.
Lukey. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Positive Tommy in the prime time. This fan focus is brought to you by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. The Giants have reportedly lined up two interviews for this week for their head coaching vacancy, Kevin Stefanski and Vance Joseph. They have also reportedly requested interviews for Seahawks OC Clint Kubiak and Indianapolis' defensive coordinator, Staten Island's own Lou Anarumo. Staten Island, the Shaolin land. Staten Island Lou. Joe Shane spoke earlier this week about the interviewing process and said this team or the Giants are going to cast a wide net. I would expect names like, obviously, John Harbaugh now, Mike McCarthy, Antonio Pierce, and maybe even the recently fired Cliff Kingsbury to get a look among others. Yeah, so I think the Giants are going to interview a lot of people, and they've reached out for some coordinators. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. To me, it's Harbaugh, McCarthy, neck and neck. And if you don't get either one of those, then start interviewing some coordinators. But I still think you got to go more the experience route. And I've laid out why I don't want Kevin Stefanski. I think he's a Brian Daboll 2.0. I think he's a guy that got worse as a head coach with the Browns. Everybody goes nuts for this guy. He has an under 400 winning percentage. He has one playoff win. He won a coach of the year in his first year, much like Brian Daboll. Okay, then he won another one. Great. I mean, coach of the year's the jelly of the month club. What does that mean to me? Nothing. As a fan, if you told me, well, this coach, he's won all these coach of the years. Okay. Did they win the Super Bowl that year? No, they didn't. All right. One coach of the year in his first year and then won a playoff game. Tell me if that doesn't sound exactly like Brian Daboll. Then stunk. Oh, and by the way, Brian Daboll is not going to get another head coaching job. So why is Kevin Stefanski getting all these interviews and everybody is all, you got to hire Kevin Stefanski. Would you feel that way about Brian Daboll? Is there some sports talk radio station in another place where that has a vacancy? Are they saying this in Tennessee? We got to hire Brian Daboll. Then why are we wanting to hire Kevin Stefanski? They have basically the same resume in terms of lack of success and a coach of the year here, a playoff win there, but nothing that would make you go nuts. Where Brian Daboll is now being viewed as more of an offensive coordinator, but Kevin Stefanski is being viewed more as a head coach and gets the second opportunity. I'm not saying he's Adam Gase. I won't go that far. But Adam Gase got worse in his second landing spot, and the Jets couldn't wait to hire him. Couldn't wait to hire him. Kevin Stefanski failed in Cleveland. Failed. Not where he had his run and it was time to move on, or it was change for change's sake. No, Kevin Stefanski as a head coach in Cleveland was a failure. Failure. He won one playoff game in 6 years. He has an under 500 winning percentage. And this is a guy you want to hire? Not me. I don't want him to be my head coach. I get the Brian Daboll vibes, Brian Daboll 2.0, and I don't hear any other teams around the league wanting to hire Brian Daboll as their head coach. They want him as an OC. Maybe he goes to the Raiders. That's certainly where the smoke is right now for that. But yet here we are and the Giants are interviewing Kevin Stefanski tomorrow. Now obviously John Harbaugh changes things big time. And Adam Schefter came out a couple hours ago and said John Harbaugh's at the top of the list. But he's at the top of the list now because he's available. What makes me think that Stefanski was right near the top before that is because he's basically getting the first interview here. And it's, I don't understand it. I really don't. He's a young, great offensive mind, just like Brian Daboll. And just because you are, and Stefanski had success as an OC, just because you had success as an offensive coordinator, just because you're offensive driven and you are a guy that can mold a quarterback, doesn't mean you can be a great head coach in the league. I don't know how many more times we have to go through this round and round, honestly. Like, it's just, it's pretty simple. It doesn't equate to being great as a head coach. Being a head coach is so much more vast, and there are so many more responsibilities than when you're the offensive coordinator. Not everybody's a leading man. Not everybody wins best actor. There are some people, and there's nothing wrong with winning best supporting actor, but it means that you can't be the lead guy for whatever reason. And Kevin Stefanski, when given the opportunity to be the lead guy, failed. And he got fired because he failed. So I don't understand why you would run a rush to interview him and why he would be a strong candidate based on that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to John in Babylon. What's up, John?
Hey, Louie, what's up? Congrats on the new spot there. I was just curious. I mean, I think Harbaugh's the guy. Nobody's talking about Doug Peterson. Is he available? Is he still in the NFL coaching or?
Yeah, I don't think he is. And Doug's one of those guys, and I appreciate the call. Maybe even similar to a McCarthy in a lot of people's minds, and from the sense of when you go to Philly and then you have another, like a failed with Jacksonville, and he's got the stench of the Jags on him. You know what I mean? And I think that he is kind of suffering from that now. And he's been out of the league, I think, for like a year. I think he was, yeah, because he got fired for Liam Cohen. I haven't heard his name get brought up at all. So I don't know if he's interested in getting back in the game. I don't know that. He's a guy that I would throw in that mix of, yeah, he's had success. We know that. You win a Super Bowl. But it's weird, yeah. I wonder if he is, because of the failed run in Jacksonville, if he is kind of suffering. But Mike McCarthy didn't fail. He won 12 games, 3 straight years, and got to the playoffs. I don't know how that's exactly failure, maybe for the Cowboys' lofty standards. But he got to the playoffs 3 straight years and won 36 games in 3 combined years, which is, I don't know why the Giants wouldn't want to be front row for that. But no, I haven't heard much about Peterson. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to, now, we've been on a crusade and a mission here on, which is now After Hours, but Lugauer for hours previously, the Lugauer on my social media, at Tommy Lugauer. I started it, but we are together, a fellowship of the ring, one would say, to find a softer phrase for the word tanking. I want everybody to think of Walt Disney when he's talking about Epcot, because I, for one, am pro-tank. And I think a lot of people would be more on board with it, except the word, that's what they can't get past. It is a negative word. It has negative connotations. It's a dirty word. It's a nasty word. You hear it. Oh, we don't tank. No. Oh, come on. Players don't tank. And I think it upsets people. Like Beningo would get upset when he hears that word, or Tiki. I'm sure Boomer wouldn't like hearing the word tanking. So I think if we clean it up and we soften it up a little bit, and instead of saying tanking, we say something like we're going back to the future, or we are draft harvesting and strategizing for a better and brighter tomorrow. Now, who's going to get mad at that? No, but when you hear tanking, it's like, oh, tanking. You dress it up a little bit. It's corporate speak. So we've been trying to figure out the word, not the word, because I don't like word. I want a phrase. And a lot of people have chimed in online and called the show. Our next caller I know has tried a bunch of times, and I've shot him down every single time. But what I appreciate here is the fact that he keeps shooting. I love that. Because life teaches you things. Like, if you give up after one, like if you ask the girl out and she says no, you know, that doesn't mean don't ask her out again or ask out another girl. Or you go for a job and you don't get it, doesn't mean you don't go for a similar job. Don't take no for an answer. You know what I mean? Like, who am I? If I hear something and it's a 10 out of 10, we're going with it. So Jay and Woodmere, let's hear it.
Yep. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I had a few options.
Yeah.
I think this next one, mm-hmm. So everyone knows in sports, when a player goes down, you have the next man up mentality.
Yeah.
So I think that this could be the next year up mentality. This year is down. There's nothing to do about it. Let's just try and develop the next year. The next year up mentality.
Jay, you're a nice guy. What do you got for number 2?
You're wrong.
But you know what, though? You know what, Jay? I'll say this. You have a couple. So I think starting out with that one, that was a good starter. That was a good appetizer. That better not be your best one. But, I mean, that was a good little appetizer there. But let's hear what you got for the main course.
Then I had a couple. I'm not sure exactly how to present it. I'll call in the following night.
No, you know what, Jay? That's amazing. Yes. You figure out the way to present it. Because you hit on something there. Sometimes it is about the presentation. It's not, and I'm a big bells and whistle guy. You know what I mean? I'm a big dog and pony show guy. So I'm all about presentation. And the way you present it, even if it's like kind of mid, as far as the name or the phrase, I should say, and it's like a 7.5, but the presentation could be like a 9.5, you know?
Well, it was like having sex.
It's worked for a lot of people. So I think that you could dress it up. And I like the fact that you have a little homework assignment for yourself. So I look forward to hearing from you, Jay.
Always delivery. Always mentioned by Steve Summers, who said it wasn't the monologue. It was the delivery. It wasn't the content. It was how he presented it to the people.
Yeah, I mean, Steve had his own style, obviously, that was so Steve. But I do think that the content was also funny. Now, it was self-deprecating. Sure. But the bit with the Islanders play on Old Country Road with the geese and the chicken and all that. But you're right. The way in which he flowed with it made it funnier. But that's what makes comedy comedy.
May I also remind you can download Me Here, You There, Steve Summers podcast with me, Paul Rosenberg.
Okay. Yes. And Steve has a new book out, which is called what?
Me Here, You There. The same name as the podcast with me, Paul Rosenberg.
But no. Hold on a second. And I know we have as a company, we have opened up Pandora's box here, and we have set a precedent with the with and the featuring, because we have Evan and Tiki with Sean Marash. We have The Carton Show with Chris McMonagle. The idea that you hoodwinked our dear friend Steve Summers to come out of retirement. And this idea that you think you are part of his podcast and anything more than just the producer and the guy that posted online. It's not with you. It is
Paul Rosenberg, the legend. No.
You somehow convinced Chris Carino to record that. I don't know how. But you have people like Ricky Ricardo and Chris Carino and Steve Summers. They say nice things about you because they have that puppy dog, you have that puppy dog kind of way about you.
Studio operations this afternoon by The Glue.
Okay.
The great Paul Rosenberg.
And then you somehow find a way to get Steve out of retirement, which I think is great. I think it's an awesome platform. It gets him out of the house, which we know Steve loves. And it gets him working and doing the monologue and all that. But the idea that it's with Paul Rosenberg is factually inaccurate and frankly insulting to Steve. It really is. Because I know we are big on the withs now, but it is not with Paul Rosenberg. It is the Steve Summers podcast with Steve Summers. Let's go to Gary in Fort Montgomery. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Tommy. How's it going?
Yep. What's up?
Well, the one thing that everybody forgets, when John Harbaugh won that Super Bowl, Joe Flacco probably played better than any quarterback in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was on a huge heater there.
I believe he was like 13 touchdowns, no interceptions on that run. And he's had a lot of good teams, and he's not won anything except that one.
Yeah, I mean, Gary, if you want to sort of discredit him winning a Super Bowl, because people will do that with McCarthy and others, oh, we have Aaron Rodgers. Okay. But what you can't do is that when you are, 18 years in one place, when you have an over 600 winning percentage, when you've made the playoffs 12 times, when you've won double-digit games 11 times, you deserve a ton of credit for that. You do. Did Joe Flacco have the run of his life and Joe Flacco is still living off that as far as money? Yes, but, the other years where Harbaugh and the development of Lamar Jackson, he deserves a ton of credit for that. And you know what? You can't take it away. You've won a Super Bowl. There aren't a lot of people walking the face of the earth that can say they've won a Super Bowl. So that says a lot about you as a head coach if you have. All right, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. After hours here on The Fan, I got you till midnight. And coming your way at that time is Al Cintron. Am I right? Rosenberg. I don't ask much. I really don't. I don't ask much as far as our friendship, clearly. Because, really, it's a one-way street. I provide I've given you a life. Let's be honest. When you met me, you were a nobody, and now you have a life. You got a girlfriend now. You got this whole deal now. Is she listening? So if she's listening right now, hello. Jerry, hello. I've given you a life. I've given you friendship. I've brought you out to me on trips. Like, I've given you something that you never had before. I ask for very little. But one of the things I do ask for is for you to have a clue what's going on the radio station after I'm on the air. Because frankly, I have so much, and you have a lot on your plate too. But the idea that I throw to Al Cintron there, and you gave me a look like you had no idea what I was talking about.
And if anybody tries to spin this in a positive way, you can kiss my ass.
You know what I love most about Al? Well, a lot of things. Number one, we're basically neighbors. We live in a similar area. We're both Met fans. We're both wrestling fans. And we're both highly entertaining on the radio. What I also love about Al, and I've gotten away from this, and it's a shame on me for being this because I think Al and Tiki is like this as well. Al Cintron is the best smelling man at this radio station. Why? Because he is constantly putting on the cologne, man. Or like before he goes to work. Evan looks at a pile of clothes that are all dirty. He sniffs them, and the one that's least offensive, he puts on. Let's be real. I mean, deodorant optional, and that's for a lot of us. I'm not picking on Evan. I mean, sometimes you look around the newsroom, and it's like the scene in Star Wars in the bar in the first one. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, we're not runway models here, Paulie. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? And by the way, your boy put on a couple LBs, and my head is getting bigger every single day. The internet has pointed that out for me, and I agree with you. I'm not looking my best right now. Al wears cologne all the time, and I used to be like that. Like, I would not only put on Polo Sport. I was a Polo Sport guy. You know, the blue Polo Sport? Loved it. I would go a couple sprays on the neck, and I wasn't smoking weed or anything. It wasn't to cover that up. A couple sprays on the neck, a couple sprays on the wrist, a couple sprays on the shirt, because I wanted to smell good. And I've gotten away from that. I've gotten lazy with the cologne. And every time Al comes in here and I smell it, I'm like, this guy smells terrific. I want to give him a hug. So Al, is he coming? How much do I have to do there? And it'd be funny before you tell me who's coming up at midnight.
I played the Al liner. It's Al.
What does that mean? Does that mean it's him?
Yes.
You don't have a Gordon Damer, you know, line to play. So if it was Gordon.
I wouldn't have played it then.
So
I would have told you.
So then what would we be sitting here twisting in the wind?
I'm not. You were going. And you were talking about Star Wars movies.
I'm trying to figure out, A, why we're friends. Really, why we're friends. And B, this working relationship has gotten off let's be honest, a rocky start. A really rocky start. You've had three my bads. You don't know who's coming up at midnight. You should have a feel for that stuff. I should as well. But if you are there for me as support. So if I don't know something and I say something, you should be able to be immediately say, yes, Tommy, it is Al Cintron.
What do you hear? What do you say?
All right, we got to take a break. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours. And I am taking you up till midnight when Al Cintron comes your way at that time. Coming up next hour, we'll open up the conversation. It's been a lot of football. We will continue with the football with your calls. John Harbaugh, Giants, Jets, the whole deal. Kevin Stefanski, the hiring process, interviewing process for the Giants. But there's a few things, a few stories out there, including one about Kyle Tucker and some of the teams that might be pursuing him as we speak. And also Cody Bellinger and where the Yankees are in terms of their negotiations with him. So a little bit of baseball to go along with a lot of football coming up. 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, After Hours here on the Fan.